But John 3:16, we all know it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for this time you've given us, the time to gather, Lord, just the freedom to gather. And Father, we give you thanks for those who come out today. I just pray that if there's anyone here that's dealing with decisions this time in their life, changes in their life, things we need to change, Lord, you just lead and guide through that Holy Spirit. Father, we just ask now for anyone that might not be saved, Lord, that you know the salvation in our heart, that you lead and guide that Holy Spirit. And Father, most of all, we ask as a church and a needy people that you just continue to lead, guide, and direct us for the things you want in the ministry, leading, guiding pastor's life, leading, guiding his health, leading, guiding young Pastor Tim, and leading, guiding our deacons, our trustees, the workers, Lord, all the ministries that we have. Just put a hedge of protection about us now, Lord, as we break this bread now. And lead and guide me. May all the glory and honor and praise be given to you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. What I wanted to do was kind of use 3:16, or since we all knew it, was I kind of thought of lately I'd been reading some in John and reading some in Acts, and you think of what Pastor's situation was like there this past week. I mean, you know, we all think of that as a second chance a lot of times. We've all heard that term and used that. And the thing is, when you get around to second chances, you know, the thing is with second chances, there's a lot of things you got to look at in those second chances. There's things that are given and things that are received and things that are guarded against in a second chance. You know, Pastor got that second chance when those doctors was able to give him that stent. I think Janie was saying they kind of argued about that, but they gave it, and it worked, okay? So, but he had to make that decision to get that. So he had a chance for something given to him. He made a decision to get it. And now, like Norman was saying, he's got to guard against that, the health, the lifestyle, and the changes. So if we look at John 3:16, you can pull out of John 3:16 a little bit. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. So there's a second chance in John 3:16. If we look at that, for God so loved the world that he gave. And then you look at the next part, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, there's the reception, there's the receiving, and there's the getting. And then we go on to see, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the guarding part in our life. What I wanted to talk about today was in second chances, there's three things involved in second chances. There's giving, there's getting, and there's guarding in those second chances. And we can look at that in many different ways. We can look at that just like the loss does. I remember all of us, if I took a show of hands in here and I said, how many's ever got a second chance? You could all, everybody raise your hand. But if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying, because you've got a second chance. You should be saved. So everybody's got that second chance one time. And you look at that, and that's what we had as lost sinners when we got saved. We got a second chance. Everybody did. But, you know, if you're saved, that second chance can mean a lot of other things. You get a chance to give. You get a chance to give and do something with your life so that maybe someone else can get something. But at the same time, you got to guard that second chance, you know. We've all had a chance to forgive somebody, I'm sure. You may have someone right now, someone in this church that maybe you got an off with a brother or sister, maybe somebody rubs you raw. I'm sure I probably rub people raw sometimes. My wife says sometimes that I just a little too bold sometimes at things, and I don't mean to be. But it's just people's nature sometimes. But the thing is, there's people like that that you could probably think of. You know, somebody in your family, somebody that you work with, somebody somewhere you could probably forgive maybe. Give them a second chance, just like Pastor got that second chance. There's giving, there's getting, and there's guarding. But, you know, we've all had to do that. And you got to ask yourself, do I give that second chance out of love and compassion, or do I do it out of necessity? Did you get your second chance out of love and compassion, or did you get it out of necessity? Did you give someone a second chance out of love and compassion or necessity? That's tough in the world we live in, because we live in a dog-eat-dog world. People give second chances, but they may not like it. They may not want to, you know. And I think sometimes as the kids a lot of times growing up, kids are that way. I mean, think of times when the kids, I say, I won't do that again, Dad. Oh, Dad, please let me have another chance. Please let me have another chance. And it don't matter whether they're this little, and I got a jar head that's about this size, and I can still think of times like that. But it's a second chance. It's against a time of someone saying, please give me a second chance. Please give me another chance to do something different, Dad. Please give me a second chance to try to have a different opportunity. You know, and God looks at it the same way. But the problem is with the kids and the difference in adults. Adults are a little more serious. Most of us in here today, this afternoon, is probably adults. So, you know, in our lives, those second chances can be a little more serious. They can be life and death, financial, family, So you want to keep that in mind when you think about what we just read in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, there's the giving. His only begotten Son. We got something. We get it. But shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's the guarding, the eternal security of that. So keep that in mind and think about what you have in here today. And probably everybody in here is safe. So can you share that with somebody else? Can you give and get and guard that second chance? That's why as adults, it's tougher. It's life and death. You know, a lot of times in our prayer life, how many can talk about what Sister Sheila shared, a blessing there? Prayed for someone's health, someone that didn't die. Our prayer life as adults many times is serious, serious time. We're praying for somebody to get healthy. Okay, Brother Kevin's got someone there. So you think of that, and those prayer requests as adults are tougher. They're serious. There's life and death. And we know we have that intercessor. That's Jesus, that intercessor. So what we got in John 3:16, we've got that. We've got that intercessor. But when I think about John 3:16, I break it down. The three things I want to share with you today, if you know, and I encourage you to take outlines like Pastor does, and I don't have anything on the overhead, but I learned a long time ago that if you send in a message sometimes, you can get two or three good points out of that you can use in your life. So I guess if you're taking the outline today for me, it's going to be on second chances, and there's three things: giving, getting, and guarding. That's the three things I wanted to talk about today, and those involve us every day. They involve John 3:16. They involve us many times over. So what I wanted to do right here real quick was share with you what I was reading about the Apostle Paul. And if you've ever studied Paul, there's probably never been a guy that was more of a rascal and a dog that had a chance to give and needed to give and didn't. And I don't want you to turn there. You can write these down if you want, but it starts out with Paul in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Paul's background is given to you a little bit. He was a killer of the church. He raised havoc. He started trouble, caused problems. I mean, he was a lowlife guy. He was a Jew of the Jew, but he was still one rough character. Okay? Now, we all know in here what Apostle Paul wound up going from Saul to Paul. We know what eventually happens in Paul's life as he goes through. He's on the road to Damascus. God sees fit to use him. God strikes him blind. He hits him with the light. He brings him back, gives him orders, sends him to another man that brings his sight back. So he's given his sight back. But a little later in his life, which is kind of like us with John 3:16, we've repented, we've changed, Paul wants to join the ministry. He wants to be used like all of us in here would like to have a second chance. Maybe you can't do some of the things that I do or Scott does or Paul or Kevin or any of us, at least any of us, but there's many places in this ministry you can be part of. And Paul's wanting to be part of that. You know, and at this time right now, we need watchmen on the wall. We need watchmen on the wall. Just read Nehemiah. Study Nehemiah when the time comes to rebuild. And one guy, while he was working, one was working with one hand and one was holding the sword in the other. Right now is the time your church needs watchmen on the wall. Pastor's still ahead. He's down a little bit. Tim's trying to step up and step in. The deacons are trying to help take over and things. And we need watchmen on the wall. You can be a watchman on the wall in prayer. You can be a watchman on the wall in witnessing. You can be a watchman on the wall in many ways for this church. But now's the time. You can be a watchman on the wall. Well, old brother Paul, we start out in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, talking about his havoc and the things he did. And as you transgress through the book of Acts some, you hear about Paul and his situation called to the ministry. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, you see about how Paul is trying to get into the ministry. And at this point, Peter, James, and John, and the good guys of the disciples or what? They don't want to have a thing to do with him. No way. They don't want to have nothing to do with him. Because why? This guy had killed Christians. He'd tortured Christians. He'd watched Stephen die. He'd caused havoc in the church. But Paul is being used of God. His name is Paul. It's not Saul. But they don't want to give him what? A second chance. Well, could you blame him? I couldn't answer that. That would be a tough call. If someone wanted to persecute this church and they wanted to be a member, it'd be a tough call. The Bible says we got to. But what interested me was Barnabas comes onto the scene. And Barnabas was a guy that his name was Man of Encouragement. And Barnabas, through the book of Acts, many times is used by God in the scriptures to encourage him. Barnabas goes to his defense and he tries to defend Paul, tries to tell him, hey, you know, this guy's repented. He's all right. Give him a second chance. And I think if you read on the scriptures, there are some James and John and those still struggle with it, but Peter literally really struggles with it. He just really can't come to grips with giving Paul a chance. And they struggle and they fight. But he goes to bat for him. He finally buys into it.
So as you see how Paul becomes part of the ministry, we all know the many epistles that he's given us, Paul becomes our missionary. He wrote many of the books on our missionary journeys and trips that he took, that God gave us in the scriptures. But they get to a later point in the ministry, and Barnabas and Paul are getting ready to go on their first mission trip. And they want to use John Mark. And they take off. And many of you probably studied where John Mark was given the chance to go on the mission trip. But then John Mark bails out. Now, how many of you have done the same thing? How many of you have probably bailed out on church, left God? I've done it. I backslid, and thank God that he gave me a second chance to come back and be standing here today. But the thing is, he gave me that second chance. Someone like Pastor gave me a second chance to come back, work in the ministries. Many of us could stand in here and probably think back on your Christian walk when someone else gave us a second chance to come back. But Paul just couldn't see doing that. He got upset over John Mark, and when it come time to take the second missionary journey, he threw a fit. He would not give John Mark a chance. And him and Barnabas, two good friends, and a man, Barnabas, has stood up for Paul and begged the guys, give him a chance. I know he was a murderer. I know he was a thug. I know he'd done bad, but give him a second chance. They gave him a second chance, but Paul would not give John Mark a second chance. Now, I studied this several times trying to find out why. And if any of you can give me a commentary, I'd love to see it. But I've never seen, and they don't really know why the difference was. But the fact remains the same that Paul said, no, I'm not using him. He bailed out on me in the form of the ministry. He left me high and dry, and I'm not using him. Barnabas says, you know what? I'm taking him. If you go on to read and study then, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul called for him. And he said he was profitable in the ministry. So John Mark got a second chance. Barnabas gave him a second chance. And I thought how ironic God, in his sense of humor, could have been there, that there was Paul that did what he did, and Barnabas had to go to bat for him, and then Paul would not give John Mark a second chance. But then at the end, God showed him John Mark was profitable. He winds up, I think some of the commentaries talk about preaching what we think of as Babylon. Tough area. And John Mark was profitable. So what I want to do today then, in laying that groundwork a little bit on second chances, the three things I talked to you about in giving and getting and guarding is when you think about the giving, the lost is going to do what? He's going to take that plan of salvation. That's what the lost is going to get. That's what's given to him by God. We've all had that. And we have that same opportunity to forgive someone and give that to them. So one of the scriptures I wanted to share with you was Revelation 22. If you'll turn to Revelation 22, verses 10 through 12, if we look here what Jesus is given in the scriptures and what he tells us in Revelation 22, verse 12, we're dealing with giving. And no better words are penned here. This is the fullness of time. Scripture's talking about here, the fullness of time is at hand. Things are finally coming to fruition. It's the fullness of time. And if you look at Revelation 22, verses 10 through 12, it says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The key there is verse 12. You've had a chance to give, people. Someone's gave to you. You've had the plan of salvation given to you. You've had teaching of Scripture, preaching given to you. You have a chance to give now as a Christian. If you're in here and you're lost, and I pray you're not, then now's your chance to take what's given to you. But there's a reason for it, and it's really key in verse 12. The time's going to come when every man's going to be given to him accordingly. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us there. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. And Jesus is saying, now I'm going to judge on what you've given. So as we go into this time of transition with the church, with Pastor, with Tim, with changes, what can you give? What can you give in the church, in the ministry, in the local church itself, in prayer, in just visitations? What can you give? Everybody, if we dig down deep, can give something. And Jesus is plainly telling us there, we have that opportunity to give. God gave in John 3:16. That's the first thing when it comes to a second chance. He gave you, you get a chance to give. So remember that. We all have a second chance now to give something back right now. And if you know someone that's lost, now's their chance to accept that salvation. But, you know, I I think back many times on the boy that I had up north there when I had a chance to give him a Bible one day, you know, and we'd been to street missions up there, and that was that boy that I had just talked to several times, and we'd go on Saturday nights, and we'd take turns preaching to him, and had a sermon, and he'd come up forwards afterwards, and me and him was talking about the message and praying, and he didn't have a Bible, and he was a lot like Eric. That's what he reminded me of, was Eric, but he'd been in the city of Chicago for a long time. And I told him I gave him a Bible, took it back the next day, I was going to give it to him. Went back there in a little area they had off the side, and he let me point blank in the eye. He said, "You know, I could kill you right now." And I thought, where is this coming from? But that was the chances we take sometimes, so we want to give something to somebody. You can give them something, let God work in their life, and then let things go from there. But don't think you can't give something. Don't let things like that deter you that I can't do or I can't give. I would have never thought that. I could have been one of those people that said, "Well, I'm not going to, you know, take care of that kid and go get him a Bible." I think I scrambled to Walmart that day to find one, take it all the way back to Joliet, Illinois, 30 miles away. And after I thought, for what? For that guy to do that to me? No. Somehow, somewhere, God used that Bible. So those are things that you can do. You can give because God gave to you first. He gave you that in John 3:16. Someone gave it to you sometime in your life, young or old, and we have a chance to give back now. So let's look back at John 3:16 now. We talked there where it says, "Whosoever believeth." Whosoever believeth. When you believeth on something, you get that. How many times have you been sitting in here when pastor preaches or Tim preaches, and it's like the light bulb clicks on, you go, I got it. All right? Whosoever believeth. You get Jesus. John 3:16 plainly tells you, if you accept what's given you, then you get it. And when you get it, you get Jesus and his power along with it. You get what comes with it. You get what comes with John 3:16. If we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 8, we'll stop there just a second. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 8, there's no better, man, to me, a picture of the power when you look at Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And it's dealing with Jesus when he was tempted, when Satan tried to tempt him. And you look at Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. 5 says, "And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Verse 7, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all be thine." I love verse 8. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You get the same thing that Jesus just told the devil in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth gets, verse 8. You get that in your life. Whether you think you can help or do or give a second chance to anybody, you have the power. It's up to you, but you have the power. Trust me, that verse tells you. Whosoever believeth, got that right there. You just got what Jesus gave the devil. Now, he told him to get behind me in Jesus' name. Don't forget that whatever you do from here on out in this day forward in second chances, whether you forgive a loved one, whether you forgive a child, whether you try to give someone the gospel, whether you try to give someone blessings, do it in Jesus' name with his power, because the disciples could tell you many times over, they tried to do something, and the demons, what would it told them, I don't know, but Jesus I know. So don't forget that. It's got to be in Jesus' name and his power. And then I guess you got to ask yourself, am I saved? Do I know that I know that I know that I know? Did I take a time in my life when I took John 3:16? It was given to me. God gave it out of love, and I took it, and I believed it. So if you look at that, you have that. You know, I could stand up here, like I said, I was lost at one time. Now I'm saved. I'm just a saved sinner. I was a lost sinner. One time I was backslid, and now I'm back. But I never lost that power. When I asked Jesus to forgive me my sins, I never lost that power. I had the power in verse 8 the day I got saved. Now I might have backslid and fell away and come back, but I still didn't lose Jesus. He was still there. So when you take that John 3:16 to task and you want to give someone a second chance, remember, you got Jesus. It's like the old commercial. Got milk? Yeah, I got Jesus. That's the way it rolls. I mean, that's exactly what it's about. John 3:16 gave it out of love. So God gave, and you get Jesus. That's for sure. When you want to give someone that second chance, they're going to get the same thing, and you can do it. So if you look at those, then we can follow up with the guarding then. If you look at John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23, you know, if you think about it, once you get saved in your walk, the thing about a lost person is you give them a chance. And I don't know if you've ever noticed when you witness somebody and they do get saved, you give them, the Holy Spirit works on them, they get Jesus in their heart, and it's a new life, it's a new walk, it's a new chance to change and go forward. And we all can probably relate to that. We've all been there, we've all done that. We've all probably need a second chance. If you've been married very long, if you've had kids very long, you need a second chance. It's inevitable, we're human nature. But if you look at that in John chapter 20 there, if you're saved, you need a chance to extend that eternal walk. If you look at John 3:16, it said, thou shalt not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Okay, so you've got a walk. You've got an eternal walk from the day every one of you in here got saved and a chance to go forward. You've got a chance to do something with that walk, give a second chance, and understand you got the power of Jesus to do it in, but you can do it. It's a walk. It's a new walk. Now, that lost person that gets saved, he starts right then. He starts that day, that time. I'm sure Brother Paul could probably tell us about those in the jail ministry and different things that come to know Christ. I mean, it's like a change. It's a new time. But those of us that are in here and been saved for a while, we've got eternal walk we're working on. We've got everlasting life we're working on. And we're working on that for God. We're working on that through second chances. We're trying to give people second chances so that they get Jesus into their life, and we help them guard that. So like I said, you got three things. You got the giving, the getting, and the guarding. That guarding is a tough part. It's easy to get saved. I don't know about you all, but it wasn't too hard to know that I was a dirty, rotten sinner, boo-hooing, crying, big old boy coming down the altar and prayed. But the hard part was later on down the road. The hard part was that everlasting walk. The hard part was not perishing. That's tough. And that's the guarding part. When you give those second chances, you got to remember, you got to guard your heart. The heart's deceitfully wicked. Satan walks about like a roaring lion. He would love to destroy that. He would love to destroy that everlasting walk. In John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23 there, you know, we're dealing with the church and the new commission. The Savior's done been resurrected. We're dealing with the church, the new commission. And 21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 23, whosoever sins ye remit, what's that? Forgive. They are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, you get, they are retained. John 3:16, you give, you get, and you guard that right there. That's the commission to the new church. If you look at that, that's the start of the new church. And why? Because they got the Holy Spirit in their life. And when you want to guard that life, you've got to guard it with the Holy Spirit. God's going to give, and you're going to get Jesus, but you can only guard those second chances with that Holy Spirit. It takes a daily walk. It takes a daily challenge. You can't go through life without it. We can't do it. We'll wind up like the disciples there, you know, where the demons say, well, Jesus, I know, but you, I don't. So those are the challenges we got to face every day to guard against that. The second chances we give people in life, man, you've got to think about it. When you get them saved and they get saved, you got to help them guard that. And you've got to guard your own. Why? You're not going to give anybody a second chance. You're not going to have a chance. But if you don't guard that heart, it's deceitfully wicked. Satan's going to try to destroy it. But I hope right now we can think about these things as we go forward now. There's going to be a lot of second chances that we're going to need to give. As this church changes and grows, as things change and grow, there's going to be second chances. You know, you may need to give someone a second chance that may have turned your craw and turned you wrong. And you may need to give yourself a second chance on something, a different start or a try. And you may need to get up in the ministry now and give somebody a second chance. Why? Because you've got Jesus. That shouldn't be a problem. But you want to be careful. You want to guard yourself on that second chance. We can't get too high-headed thinking we're doing it ourselves because we've got to give God the glory and praise. But you've got to guard that second chance, but get out there and give it because things are going to get tougher in these end times. I just shared with you there in John, that's the commission to the new church. If you look at 23 and you don't get anything, look there where it says remitted and retained. You're giving and getting. That's the new church's job. We've got to give and we've got to get. But don't forget to guard the heart and guard yourself. And I guess more than anything else, think about those second chances. Think about someone you could give it to, someplace you could work in the ministry. If you do anything, pray for pastor. If you do anything, pray for Tim. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your trustees. Pray for the workers of your church. We all need second chances. We need the help. We need the support. We need the time to just guard against all those second chances that we're all going to get. But All right, at this time, if we'd all stand, I think I'm going to have Brother Chris, if you'd come up, give you a chance to come up, and Debbie and Sister Norma. And it was not a message probably that I knew. You know, if you were in here and you were lost, I'm sure we've all given John 3:16, but more than anything, I wanted to give it because it's fresh on our mind about Pastor and having second chances. He got a second chance. And we all have the same. Everybody in our day has got a chance right now, just like Pastor, to make a second chance, make a change, give someone a second chance. You may even just got a second chance recently, this week, last weekend, maybe a message, something changed in your life, that Holy Spirit. But most of all, as Brother Chris leads us now, if you want to come down and pray and talk to God in your prayer and do a time with God, that's up to you. And then we'll dismiss after that just shortly. Brother Chris.